Michael, do you think from what you know so far, have you gotten all the answers from Benghazi on why we weren't able to protect those people?
Well, I mean, it's certainly a complicated set of issues. And, you know, one of the things that I think is really challenging is to understand exactly how the facts on the ground play out. So, you know, the idea of scrambling jets is, you know, is appealing, and we like to see, you know, we like to think that we can do that. But when you're going into a, you know, at night into a city in a foreign nation, you know, there are a lot of logistics challenges there. I think the real problem is that we have not accepted as a nation that there are threats to all Americans, you know, when we travel abroad. And so we don't have the level of heightened security and awareness that we need to have.
Yeah, but I mean, me going to France, Michael, is not as dangerous as our ambassador in Libya that's been writing up papers and faxing in requests for additional security where we just were technically at war. I mean, that you don't even need to imagine the threat there. There was a threat there.
Yeah, there clearly is a threat there, but there's a threat in, you know, in at least 20 countries across North Africa and the Middle East. And so, you know, we have limited resources. As a nation, we've decided to only spend so much on security. So, you know, I actually am much more troubled by the cover-ups and the things that happened after the fact than I am by the, you know, the unfortunate incident, because, you know, it is a dangerous world. And while it is tragic that we lost 4 Americans in Benghazi, you know, within that same week, we lost how many in Afghanistan?
Right. And, you know, you could even go domestically. We lost 44 in Chicago in a week to gang violence. But it was just there's a few things that are still out there. When you talk about what's happening with our national security, I also thought it was interesting because you see the inner workings of an administration. I also thought it was interesting when they decided to question about where the president was. I was kind of surprised to find out the president really wasn't informed of all this. Cut 16.
For you to testify that our posture.
If I were a family member and one of my loved ones was killed in Benghazi, I would be sick to my stomach. The President of the United States talked to the Secretary of Defense for 15 minutes, never talked to the Secretary of State until after the attack was over, never made a phone call saying, how close are we to help these people? Where is Chris Stevens? What did he do when he was told the ambassador was missing? We've had one ambassador killed in the last 30 years. The President of the United States has to account for his leadership here. I intend to hold him accountable. Thus far, the White House is delayed, denied, deceived, and stonewalled, and this has to come to an end. He has to account for his leadership. They've made 2 movies about the bin Laden raid. You deserve credit for that, but you've had no accounting for the Benghazi attack.
And when we found out more information, there was it's kind of scary. The Secretary of State and the President went about their day while this fighting was going on.
Yeah, I agree heartily. I think that the administration, you know, as a whole, has just, you know, they've put national security issues on the back burner. And, you know, they want to focus on domestic policy. They want to focus on some of these other issues, which are important. But, you know, I mean, you know, I and many others have dedicated our lives to national security. We think that it's really, really important. There's a significant threat. You know, you start talking about some of the Homeland Security event. When was the last time that the president was, you know, talking to the Secretary of Homeland Security? So there's any number of major security issues. And I think, frankly, that the team at the White House is pretty amateur hour when it comes to managing these challenges.
Homeland Security expert Michael Barrett with us. Michael, when you look at the danger of Islamic extremists when you left, as opposed to where we're at now, how would you gauge our security?
Well, I think that the you know, one of the things that the Bush administration talked about and was sort of derided for was the idea that if you had an active engagement overseas, that sort of kept everybody distracted. It was sort of like moths to the flame, if you will, between Afghanistan and Iraq. As you know, as we pulled out of Iraq, as we pull out of Afghanistan, what we're starting to see is the emergence of, you know, the fact that those people who have been fighting and engaged in this conflict for decades are going to continue to do that. And they're not going to be in locations like Afghanistan and Iraq. They're going to be in Mali. They're going to be in Yemen. They may well be throughout Europe and even potentially here in the U.S. So I think that we're in a period where the reality of the threat is going to be multiple low-level attacks like what we saw against the, you know, for example, the energy facility in Algeria, right? we're going to be in a position where we have numerous events, and we as a nation and as a national security establishment have to be prepared for that, which means we do need to be on standby with rapid reaction forces, things
and,
like that.
And that's going to cost money, isn't it? We have to train.
Absolutely.
We have to get people.
Absolutely. And so that, you know, also, so I fault the administration both in terms of the execution of some of their policy and not really having a strategy or a vision for national security, but just as much for not having any kind of a coherent budget for national security.